Giving God so much praise for all that he's doing and all that he's done. And want to send this year out with a bang. So glad that we have this wonderful opportunity and unique opportunity to come together and worship and pray that you have just been and engaged with your heart, your mind, your spirit as we worship God this morning. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Previous weeks, we've been in a series called Eyewitness News. We've looked at different characters in the birth narrative. The first week we looked at shepherds and angels, and we heard some eyewitness testimony from some angels and a shepherd. Then we heard from Anna and Simeon. Last week we heard from Mary and Joseph. And I'm praying today that perhaps maybe we will hear from, you're going to hear from me because I'm preaching, but hopefully some of you would take the opportunity to give some eyewitness testimony. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But Luke chapter 12, verse number 32 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." I simply do not know what to make of how it seems that time is moving so rapidly. I mean, seriously, when or where did this year go? We were just celebrating New Year's Day 2013, and now we're about to enter 2014. And how many of us thought that in 2014 we'd be at a place where we'd have flying cars and living in a world like the Jetsons? But and even though we've had some technological advances, you know, we've got smart watches now. I love watches, by the way, but I don't think a smart watch is my flavor. But where has the time gone? At the beginning of this year, I challenged this church to dream and to dream big. We probe the imagination of God. We probe the imagination of the church. And as a church, we proceeded to collect a series of dreams and ideas as a body. And through a series of follow-up meetings and get-togethers, we probed the hearts of the congregation. Together, we looked at the collective spirit of a church that is made up of so many gifted individuals. This church is comprised of so many different and diverse hearts from different backgrounds with different stories. And as we looked at all of the submissions of ideas and dreams, it was a bit overwhelming. And while at the same time, it was exciting. How can we accomplish all that was submitted? Where do we find the resources to fund all the ideas and the dreams? Where do we find the manpower and the woman power to accomplish all those ideas? That was what was put before us, and it seemed a little bit overwhelming. We started 2013 with a dream, and we closed 2013 in some way still trying to bring those dreams to reality. Now, there may be a temptation for some of us to say that we've stalled in dream mode. There is great frustration, especially for those of us who want to see action. We dare to dream. Now what? Where do we go from here? What's next? Before we probe what's next, let's reflect on what has been happening and what's happening as we speak right now. For some time now, I have just simply marveled at the movement of God's Spirit in this place. I'm talking about the Reynoldsburg body, Church of Christ here. We continue to journey in significant ways in the area of relationship with one another, Jesus told his disciples, and we are his disciples, so he was speaking to us when he says, love one another as he had loved. In so many ways, we are embodying the command of Jesus to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so many ways, this church has responded in love to those who struggle. We have loved when it is difficult to love. We have loved those whom society says it's hard to love. And this church continues to just abound in love for one another. Just yesterday at the Community of Care dinner, I watched members of our church community engage and embrace those in our community who struggle. They struggle to make ends meet. They struggle with mental illness. They struggle with a myriad of issues. And this I know is certain. Our friends who come to eat with us every fourth Saturday know that they are coming to a place where they are loved. They know that they are welcomed here. I wanted to personally, right now, just thank Wendy and Perry Brown for their tireless efforts to make sure that that dinner takes place every month. I watch Perry every time we have that dinner display a pastoral spirit and care for our friends who come to that dinner. I mean, there's so many who they'll go in, they'll eat their dinner, they'll get their groceries, and they come out to the table where Perry is just to share with him what's going on in their lives. And he just receives that and listens to that, just as a pastor would. That's what pastoral care is. I see Wendy running around, you know, getting supplies and getting extra food. Yesterday we ran out of spaghetti. She had to run home and make some more spaghetti to make sure that we had enough spaghetti to feed our friends. And so I just want to thank the both of you for your hearts and spirit. And Dean and Dana, the work that you've been doing. And if you don't know that Dean and Dana have been very instrumental in securing the Reynoldsburg church body as being a Mid-Ohio food bank. And being a Mid-Ohio food bank, that means that we're able to go to the Central Food Bank and go purchase food at a significant discount, as well as receive free fruits and vegetables, which increases the quality of the offerings that we're able to give to the community. We're not just giving them a bunch of processed food, but we're able to give some fresh fruit and some fresh vegetables. And hopefully in time, we'll begin to increase those offerings. So I just want to thank you, Dean and Dana. And I know that right now, Dean is taking care of his sick mom and his sick father, yet they still are taking time to run down to that bank and load up that station wagon full of food. So praise God for station wagon. And praise God for Dean and Dana, and thank you so much for your efforts. Now, those are some visible displays of love being expressed in this body, but I'm also aware of the many relationships that take place in this body that are not on public display. The way that brothers and sisters are caring for one another, spending time with brothers and sisters who can't get out, or members who don't have a lot of physical family in the area, but they have this spiritual family. You see, I shudder at the notion that there are so many people in our community who suffer from loneliness and not having a physical family and don't have a church family. Church, we need to go out into these streets and let people know that you may not have a physical family, but you can have a spiritual family here in the Reynoldsburg Church. Amen? If given the opportunity, we can be their family. So for all of you who have done things like taking people to doctor's appointments, doing people's laundry, sharing your possessions and your wealth and your money with others, you are a blessing, and you are fulfilling God's promise to bless the world through Abraham's seed. I've witnessed our church and our commitment to the family relationship. I believe it was Kim Johnson who suggested we dedicate one day a month for couples to go out on a date and then convene here together with other couples to watch a marriage enrichment video. And you know, parents and married couples are, you know, afforded the opportunity to drop your kids off or feed your kids and go out, go just eat a dinner without your kids, which if you don't have kids or you never experienced a dinner without your kids, that feels so good. Oh my goodness. But the fact that the church says we are committed to helping marriages grow stronger and grow stronger together, that is such a blessing. We have witnessed several of our children making public declarations of their faith and being baptized into Jesus Christ. And I've got to believe that that is a result of some good things that's going on in the homes, but it's also a result of the incredible efforts of the children's education team. Our kids are learning the Word of God and how to live as followers of Jesus Christ. For all of you who have volunteered to teach or to shepherd, your efforts do not go ignored. For those of you who organize the classrooms, find teachers for classes, that hard work is paying off in that it's creating and training young disciples. You know, we have celebrated new births and announcements of births to come in this body. This church is pro-family. We are engaged with helping people grow in their family relationships, and I am so glad that that is a blessing here at this church. Church, I could not have two better colleagues than Justin and Joy Kuhn. I see them going over and beyond their call to minister in this church. Whether it is Joy managing the church office, which means keeping Justin and I in line, whether it's the both of them supply shopping and setting up classrooms, or their ministry together to our teenagers. We need to give God praise for what God is doing in them and through them. And I just want us to bless them right now because they are doing a great job. Every year at this time, I stand here in position to commend this church on its generosity and giving. This year, our giving was highlighted when we paid off our mortgage, making us completely debt-free. And I suspect that while we will meet our budget challenge that was set out at the beginning of the year, our extra giving has taken us over and beyond that budget number. Now, given the continued financial stress of the American economy, this church continues to excel in giving. And again, I stand here on behalf of Justin and Joy and my family in thanking you for taking care of us as paid staff in this church. That's just some of the things, it's just some of the things that God is doing in this body. And I know this is the pulpit, and I know this is the time reserved for me to kind of spout off and say what I want to say. But does anyone else here want to share something that God is doing that you've observed in this body? I'll come bring you the mic. Anybody want to say anything? Josh? No. You raise your hand, I'll bring you the mic, brother. Does anybody want to share anything with the body?
In the past year and a half, 2 years, and I may be repeating some of the things Dion has said, but we have really grown in our accountability to each other. We continue to grow in our love for one another to the point where we're in each other's homes, which I think is great, to where I can name any one of you men, but I'll say where I feel like Travis is my brother. Martha's my sister. And we're family. your children I care about and love, and I'll talk to them from time to time to try to encourage them. And sometimes I think of my one grandson I just had a talk with the other day as far as it's not tough love, but it's love when you tell them, you know, you need to respect your parents, you need to do this, you need to do that. The giving, like Dion said, it's overwhelming, church. The things that take place here, it's overwhelming. The talent that we have here, it's overwhelming. The way that we're growing, because God is sending people here, and it's overwhelming the way the Spirit is accepting, allowing us to be accepting of one another. No, we're not perfect, but we know that now. And I think we understand that, but we're striving for that perfection.
Does anybody else want to share with the church?
I know a couple of times after Kynes had surgery and stuff, just the outpouring of love and meals that we've received from the body was just so, it was loving and thoughtful, and just receiving those blessings from you guys just really helped us so much, and we appreciate that. Even in the past when Caitlin was going through some surgeries and stuff, and or through her her doctor's evaluations and that, just the gifts that you gave to her meant so much to the family, and we appreciate you guys so much, and we thank you.
Does anybody else want to share with the body? You're going to wait till I get up on stage and then raise your hand. You meet me halfway then.
I just wanted to share an acrostic that I think fits in with what he's talking about, reflecting. And reflect stands for what we do. We represent every day faith, love, energy, compassion, and truth.
It's my acrostic lore right there, man. Anybody else? Now, church, with all that God is doing, we should not be ignorant of the setbacks and the challenges. You know, while trying to maintain good relational ethics and displaying love, there are challenges. You see, what happens when those who you show love stab you in the back? What happens when someone who is shown love at the community of care is only out to scam the church? What happens when you when people don't participate in the ministries of the church? What happens when that married couple that had the date night and had a dinner without their kids get home and have a big argument? What happens when the person who seeks spiritual restoration gets caught up back in their sinful struggle? We have celebrated births, but we have also experienced the loss of loved ones. The challenges are possible, they are real, and they are taking place as we speak. With all that God is doing, there are challenges. With all that is going on that's good in our children's education program, what happens when you can't get teachers to volunteer? With all that is going on in the teen program, what happens when you have teens who don't participate in the programs that's going on? With all that is going on good in this building, what happens when there are scheduling conflicts with the building? with all the growing interest in new ministries and demands of new technology, how do we pay for it? With the extra money that will be available to us now that we have no mortgage payment, what happens when there is a disagreement on how to spend those extra funds? With all that God is doing, there are challenges. And as we continue to grow in our understanding of God and Scripture, what happens when we broach subjects that are uncomfortable with us? With all that has gone good in our worship times together, what happens when we propose to do new things or bring back old things in worship? Church, there are challenges, and we need a word or a few words from God to address these challenges. For the past several weeks, we have been looking at the birth narrative of Jesus. And I pray that you have had a beautiful and fulfilling Christmas holiday. I am praying that you will have a blessed and prosperous new year. But more than that, I pray that you will receive this word from the Lord in regard to the presence of tremendous blessing and the challenges that accompany the blessings. And I present to you a phrase that not only played a huge role during the birth narratives of Jesus, but a phrase that played a huge role throughout the narratives in all of the Gospels, but particularly in the Gospel of Luke, and also in the book of Acts. And that phrase is, "Do not be afraid." The human condition is full of instances where we react and are gripped with fear. We fear death. We fear loneliness. We fear failure. We fear rejection. We fear repercussion. We fear emptiness. The characters involved in the birth narrative of Jesus needed a word of calm to address their fears. Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, he had to be calmed. In Luke chapter 1, in verse number 11, it says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him," say this with me, church, "do not be afraid, Zechariah." Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to be calmed. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, say this with me, church, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, had to be calmed. Matthew chapter 1, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David," say this with me, church, "do not be afraid." Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The shepherds to whom the host of angels appeared had to be calmed. But the angel said to them, say this with me, church, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Do not be afraid. Several times throughout the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, we will see this phrase being uttered. It was usually the initial phrase uttered by an angel, because the sheer presence of an angel was frightening and it brought fear to mortals. But the phrase was also spoken to the fear embodied by individuals who were given a great task by God. Let us first understand the beauty and the blessing of God in that he entrusted humans to accomplish divine tasks. The incarnation, that is deity taking on flesh, was accomplished through humans. The proclamation of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ took place through humans. God uses men and women. He used them during the birth narratives. He used them during the gospels, and he will use humans. He will use men and women. He will use you, he will use me to accomplish heavenly goals and heavenly dreams. And his use of humans was not limited to the miraculous and those stories that we read in the gospel, because right now as we speak, God is using people in this room to accomplish his goals. He's going to use you He's going to use you, Justin. He's going to use you, Harry. He's going to use you, Caleb. He's going to use you, Mindy. He's going to use you, he's going to use you, Josh. He's going to use you, Xander. He's going to use us because that's the way heaven gets done on earth through us. So when we're called and we're gripped with fear, you need to hear these words. Words that were spoken to Zechariah and to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. In 2014, do not be afraid to continue to love until it hurts. You might lose money. You might lose time, but in loving, we honor Christ. And in loving, we expand the borders of the kingdom. So, church, in 2014, do not be afraid of challenges. Don't be afraid of challenges in your families and your marriages. Keep working at it. Keep grinding. Keep talking. Keep communicating. Get help. Talk to people. One of the greatest joys that I get is an interruption that takes place several times on a Sunday, every Sunday. It's become almost a custom, and not so much now, because there were a group of men that used to meet in my office. I got a couple chairs in my office and a couch in my office, and I'd have to run to my office to grab something, and almost every Sunday I walk in and I see these four men who then go whoop, and they look at me, and it's an interruption, and I apologize for the interruption, but I close that door and I smile, because I know that every week there are some men in there talking about struggles that they have. Talking about struggles that they have in their marriages. Talking about struggles that they have in their families. Talking about struggles that they have at work. Church, do not be afraid when you have a challenge. Keep working at it. Confess it. Share it. Talk about it. In 2014, do not be afraid of reading and studying the Bible and the heart and mind adjustments that might come with it. You see, as we embrace the teaching of Scripture, it may mean that may come into conflict with things that we hold on to as our traditional understandings. Don't be afraid. In 2014, do not be afraid of the challenge this body will face in trying to do ministry, because there's going to be new ministries arising. There's going to be ministries that's going to need more resource. And so that we don't get into an area where we're competing with one another, but finding ways to cooperate, because there's enough ministry for all of us to do. And when we do more ministry, we expand the borders of the kingdom. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid in 2014 to share what we have, even if those who we share with misuse it or abuse it. Do not be afraid in 2014 when the church spends money for ministry or for upgrades. In 2014, do not be afraid to continue to dream and to dream big. The words spoken by angels to the servants of God are the very words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, and thus he speaks to us. So hear these words of Jesus when he said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their masters to return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. He who dress himself to serve will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We just concluded a season of Advent, a season of waiting. Here Jesus, who not only tells us to wait, but to be actively engaged in kingdom work. And for any of us who are anxious about what God is calling us to do, Jesus is saying, do not be afraid. God did not call us to be safe. God did not call us to be anxious. He called us to be faithful. He called us to be confident. He called us to be bold. He called us to be active. As we wait for his return, whenever that minute, hour, day is, whether it's in the next hour, whether it's next week, whether it's in the next 1 million years, there's work for us to do. And if we're overcome, if we have an inch of fear in our hearts, hear Jesus when he says, do not be afraid. Just don't, do not be afraid. I'm looking forward to 2014, not because I have confidence in myself, because I have faith in God. I'm looking forward to 2014 because I serve a God that doesn't reside in a box. I'm looking forward to 2014 because I don't serve a God that is limited. I'm looking forward to 2014 because an infinite God is blessing us with his infinite spirit to do an infinite amount of things in this community. So church, let's go. Let's get ready to go. Let's thank God for what he's done in 2013. Let's thank him for all the blessings, and let's also thank him for all the challenges. And let's anticipate blessing along with all the challenges. But let's not be afraid. You with me, church? Is that all right? Is that a good place to go for 2014? Y'all ready to go? Let's pray to God. God, thank you so much for blessing. Thank you so much for restoration. Thank you so much for love. Thank you so much for relationship. Thank you so much for financial blessing. Thank you so much for spiritual blessing. Thank you so much for stronger marriages. Thank you so much for stronger children. Thank you so much for stronger education. Thank you so much for new people. Thank you so much for wonderful worship times. Thank you so much for wonderful small groups. Thank you so much for all those blessings. And God, we also thank you for the challenges. We thank you for the instances where things didn't go right. We thank you for the instances where someone stabbed us in the back. We thank you for all of those because, God, they're instances for growth. They're opportunities for growth. And God, we know that you shine through all of those challenges. We know that you shine through all of those setbacks. We know that even in those challenges, even in those setbacks, even when things didn't go right, God, you were right there. Father, help us to understand that Emmanuel is not a Christmas term, that Emmanuel is a spiritual reality, that for 365 days of the year, you are Emmanuel, you are with us. And because you are with us, all is well. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's something that the church can do for you this day, there's something else you want to share with this body. Maybe it's a blessing you didn't share just a moment ago, but you want to share that now. I want to give you that opportunity. If there's something that we can be praying for you about, I want to give you that opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and make a public proclamation of your faith in him, be baptized into Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity as well. So let's stand and let's sing this song.